Napa Know How.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chi for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, and welcome to Chi for Yourself. Glad you're with us wherever you are in the world today. Chi for Yourself is intended to nurture the good chi, to help you live consciously, to live a genuine life. This is our first new show of the year 2012. Happy New Year. And it was tempting to start the year talking about resolutions or other beginning of the year topics, but for some reason I was moved to get us out of the gate in 2012 with a look at relationships. So our guest today is Dr. Deborah Riebel, psychologist, counselor, and author of Soul-Hearted Partnership. She looks at issues of spiritual fulfillment or non-fulfillment as they play out in our intimate relationships. We're happy to welcome Dr. Deborah Riebel to Chi for Yourself. It's exciting to think of partnering with someone. A new relationship fills us with hope and anticipation. In this case, we're talking about a soul-hearted partnership. Start us off with a definition of soul-hearted partnership and how it's different from the standard version or vision of partnership.
Well, my idea of soul-hearted partnership, John, comes from a real blending of energies. It comes from two people truly committed to themselves as a whole and complete, you know, energy themselves, coming together and offering that wholeness to another person. So we hear a lot of times, you know, he's my other half or she's my other half. This is really about two wholes coming together and being more than that. So it's two energies blending into a even bigger force, a third force, that then can not only support the individual in the relationship, but the couple and then anyone else that energy touches. Now, I talk about it in terms of intimate relationships, but I also refer to this in friendships, in collegial relationships, so it can be applied to many, many different forms.
I would think that self-love is very healthy here, yet some folks, such as baby boomers, might have been conditioned to think that self-love is somehow wrong or sinful. In your practice, when you hear resistance like this from a client, what do you say right out of the gate that can maybe assure a person and start to chip away at that feeling?
Well, and you're absolutely right, John. That is a pervasive feeling among a lot of people that's a selfish concept, to love ourselves. And the first thing I would say to someone is, how can I love another person if I don't love myself? I can't bring that essence of love through me to you or another person unless I have that experience of myself. And that's not an easy concept to grasp. But we can love ourselves in so many ways, you know, loving the aspects of ourselves, but it's really about loving the being. No matter what our faults are, no matter what our imperfections or vulnerabilities, we're all imperfect, but we are whole energy, and we can love that we are human, and we do bring that energy into everyday life, and that essence of us is what we can really hold and love dearly.
I'm going to kind of slip into man speak here for a minute.
Sure.
But yeah, as is my tendency.
That's
being
good.
A,
we need that point of view.
Carrying guy. Guys who have a tendency to live in a world of light beer commercials are afraid they're going to have to come into contact with some sort of feminine power. But wouldn't it be wise here to take ownership of both the male and the female energies before bringing a soulmate into your life?
Absolutely. In fact, in the book I talk about when we really are whole, we are bringing forth both the male and female energies. It's an androgynous, fully expressed relationship with ourselves first. So for a man, that would be male and female, and for a woman, it would be female and male. And we have aspects of each of those energies in us, but so many times society, our families, however we were, you know, taught or programmed, it wasn't always naturally brought forth. And we have to really be okay with that feminine side or that male side that comes through, because they're both wonderful energies that really blend and offer us so many resources.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to know that a soulmate isn't always a lover, a husband, or whatever. How does this work for those not quite as close to us, but still soulmates?
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because one of the things that I mentioned that people kind of go bristle at is that we have thousands of soulmates. And the prevailing concept on the planet is we have to seek out that one person that's going to complete us. And for me, that's so limiting, and it's not for me the truth, because we come into contact daily with people that we connect with. And soulmate energy is just that connection with someone that we know instantly, that we recognize each other. There's something there. When that energy is in a friendship, it's probably the best relationship of the soulmate that you can possibly have. It's a lot harder to take that into an intimate relationship. And in the book, I talk about how to do that, that it's, you know, that is a challenge. However, if you've got two people committed to their own path and really walking, you know, looking at themselves, recognizing their patterns, and being willing to work on that, that can work in an intimate relationship. But ultimately, some of my soulmates, the best relationships I have are those friendships. And you probably can think of some in your own life, I can imagine.
Sure, sure. Well, speaking of your own soulmates, how have these worked in your personal life? I imagine with all of the work you've done in this direction, it's helped you in your own personal dealings.
It really has, John. I went on this quest mainly because of my own personal experience. I didn't always make the best choices right out of the gate when I was young, as we all do. And I was married very young the first time. And I did marry my soulmate, but he was my best friend. Unfortunately, the best friend, we should have probably just stayed friends.
You ruined the friendship. Yeah.
And I do believe friendship is the foundation of a beautiful, soul-hearted relationship. However, the chemistry wasn't necessarily there as well. And so we were able to part in a way that worked for both of us. And to this day, are co-parents. So as those relationships come up in people's lives, in my own life, I realized that, boy, I really need to be working on myself. Because if I'm going to have a relationship I want with someone else, I've got to know myself well enough, trust myself, love myself, and be intimate enough to know what my vulnerabilities are before I really can come into a relationship in the fullest expression, which is what I talk about in my book.
It seems to me that a meditation practice would be a good accompaniment for attracting a soulmate. You agree with that?
Oh, yes. Meditation is part of my daily practice, my spiritual practice. Whether it's walking and just being quiet in that walk, or sitting in stillness, or actually listening to a meditative CD, I try to make meditation whatever works for that moment, whether it's washing the dishes in a very meditative way. It's important that we take the time to go within, because if we don't, we won't know what those triggers are, what those patterns are that catch us every day, that we might say something or do something that comes from an old pattern, a behavioral pattern that really we need to look at and take care of and to cut. So if we're not in that awareness and that check-in with ourselves, we're not going to be able to catch it as the life goes by on a day-to-day basis, and as it gets faster and faster. So I really recommend that. And I saw on your website that's something that you recommend to the people that listen.
Yeah. Yeah, the energies are front and center here, and meditation is a wonderful helpmate, I think, in that area, sure. I don't know if beneficial is the word here, or helpful to go into a relationship, and I'm talking in particular about a very close, possibly intimate relationship, with the top of mind knowledge that it might not be forever, or is that just a cynical attitude?
No, I think that's a very open and wise attitude, John. Actually, we have people that come into our lives, you may have heard this, for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. And if we go into every relationship thinking this is lifelong, we're going to be disappointed, because many relationships come in for just a moment. And for whatever that purpose is, they come in to assist us, they come in to give us a message, show us something, teach us something. Some of those relationships last longer, and others last forever. That's what I would consider a soulmate, or and I take it to the next level, soul-hearted. However, if we attach to that person having to be, you know, in our lives forever, we're not giving ourselves or that person the flexibility to what if we outgrow each other? What if our purpose has been complete? Now, that's not usually a concept that most people like to hear, because they want that, you know, forever. But it can be forever in that moment. And so that's kind of what I bring forth to the table in my new paradigm of relationship. So I think that's the point.
I would think, too, you get some resistance on religious grounds, you know, that people are supposed to partner up forever. That's a tough one to break down, isn't it?
It certainly is, because we're told, you know, stick it out, work it out. And I agree with working it out. But when relationships are that much hard work and they're not supporting the individual growth and transformation of that person, either person in the relationship, we have to take a step back and say, is this really beneficial? And, you know, having been through a divorce myself and knowing that there's positive outcomes from that, even having children, and I now am with someone who is really more my partner than ever before for this particular time in my life, I would hate to see people not take that opportunity because they've been raised or told that they have to stay in the relationship no matter what.
Yeah. And knowing the work that you do, he's obviously okay with that stance.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And it's funny what we do every year and what I talk about in the book. We tease each other, but it's very true. We renew our contract every year. and on our anniversary, we always repeat, we say vows, and they're not the same ones. And so wherever, and we tend to try to go someplace over that period of time that's special. A lot of times it's a very spiritual place. And we renew that, well, we knew, and I even want to say renew, we make that new opening to the next year ahead. So, you know, so there are times I'll say, well, I have one day left on my contract. Is it going to be renewed this year?
Like free agent, maybe.
Yeah, it's like if you got another team.
Any scouts out there that might be taking it? Yeah.
But it brings home that idea that we have to see each other new every day.
Yeah.
Because if we get into that rut of, you know, you're the person I married and I never see you differently, or I'm in a committed relationship and I take it for granted, that's very devastating to relationships. It needs to be growing and changing, and we need to recognize that in each other.
Our guest on this Chi for Yourself is Dr. Deborah Riebel, author of Soul-Hearted Partnership. We're into what a lot of people are calling a new age, and yet people's relationship issues often read like the usual suspects: jealousy, insecurity, resentment. Is there one of these bad guys that's a whole lot more damaging to starting or maintaining soul-hearted partnerships than the others?
I would say resentment. John, honestly, I feel jealousy comes from insecurity. Insecurity, you know, most people have some insecurity. Those are ones that, you know, we can work with within a relationship and help each other to outgrow those patterns. Resentment really can hold such anger and such negative energy. And if a person isn't willing to let go of grievances or resentments or their anger, they can't move forward. And one of the I guess it would be a concept or a way that I present to couples or in what I practice myself, is that when we complete a disagreement or a conversation, if we're involved in something that we need to recognize our I wouldn't say fault, but our part in it, we agree to that it's finished at that moment. So we don't bring that back up again. And if we do, then we have to say, wait a minute, then you weren't complete with it when we actually had the conversation. Because it pulls that person back into the past, and they feel like, wait a minute, what just happened? I thought I was okay. You were okay with this. So I try to guide people to let go of those resentments as soon as they can. And if they have some wounds from the past, to really look at those and start working on forgiveness right away, forgiving themselves for actually entering into that relationship and forgiving whatever took place.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question about forgiveness and the part that it plays. It's such a powerful thing to do. And I would think is, you know, great to lead off with in most any endeavor, because get rid of the slights. I tend to think that, you know, I tend to believe in the mind-body connection, and I think resentments, I see them connected to things like cancer and such. I don't want to go off the topic here, but I think you're right. Resentment is such a damaging, toxic
energy. Yes, and you're absolutely, John, that those tie in, because if we're not releasing those on a daily basis, then they're seeping into every aspect of our lives, including our bodies. And then our partner or friend or whoever will have to deal with that, you know, if we're in a relationship. So we have to be very accountable for every thought that we have, every choice we make, every feeling we have that we release if there's anything that's negative or we're holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness, to me, is that way through. It's not in a religious sense that I use it, but to forgive the past, to let go, to really move forward. And that means really opening our heart and seeing that person in compassion. And you may still not agree with what they did, and you may not be able to acknowledge that, you know, that action, but you can forgive the human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being a baby boomer and having a lot of conversations with friends and classmates and what have you, there's a feeling in that group that when you forgive, you're letting someone off the hook. But that's not really what you're doing. You're giving yourself the break.
Yes, you are.
Right?
You're letting yourself off the hook.
Yeah.
Because the only person that gets hurt in that is you. Like you said, that's going to stay inside you. And if you imagine where that energy is going into yourselves, into your organs and into your emotions, it's not going to do anything but create, you know, disease or discomfort.
I think back to the women of my mother's generation and their daughters too. So many of them gave and gave of themselves in marriage and child raising and became sort of tapped out, often without a lot of thanks. We want to think that women have made great strides during the last few decades, but I'm wondering, in your own practice, are you seeing still a good level of improvement in this area for women?
Actually, I'm seeing women on the verge, actually, on the move. It's been interesting, and especially this past year, my experience with women, and I've always been very interested in women's issues. From the time I first started, you know, in the helping and healing arts, because women need support to be able to balance the energies that they have, and they're very powerful beings in the universe. But what I'm starting to see is women finally saying, I don't have to do it all. I am enough. Not that I'm going to keep striving to be enough, but I am enough. And they're starting to finally get the message that they can leave some of the situations that they have created or put themselves in, whether it be with a family member, a child, a husband, a lover. You know, they can make the choice not to be in that situation and have their energies depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's refreshing, and I'm starting to see a lot of movement, and I think it's because of this new energy on the planet that we're moving into a more feminine, you know, balance, which has been happening.
I've seen, too, I've noticed, well, even in my own relationships, where when you offer to give a woman or to allow her to have her power, oftentimes she'll resort to the old paradigm and say, well, you know, I think that I'm being valued when you're jealous, when you're hovering, when you're, you know, and you try to bring a woman out of that. Is it smart to try to change that energy? Because so many people are steeped in that old way. You care about me if you follow me and keep tabs on me and hassle me. And my power scares me, basically.
Yes, yes, it's very true, John. And I think women, like I said, they're just starting to come into their power and realize that they can have that, and it doesn't take away from them being nurturing and being accepted and relationship-oriented. But I would encourage that each member of a relationship, anybody, to really encourage that person's power in any way they can, because we don't want to be in archaic ways of jealousy and hovering and control, because that doesn't help anybody, including males, including, you know. So please take the step to move out of that more traditional way and support people so they can express their full self, or, you know, their full self-expression, however that may be, and know that it's going to get uncomfortable for a while as we're changing. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy to go into that space and be that support for somebody, but it's so important.
We can take a look at universal law for just a moment, in particular the law of attraction. As we look forward to bringing a relationship to us and using the attractor energies, are there ways we can sort of, fake it till we make it to help the process along?
Yes, there is. And people laugh when I say that too, because they don't always understand that concept. But the way I look at it is, for us to bring in what we want, whether that's a relationship or a job or anything, any faking it until we make it is true. We have to see that if I want love in my life, I have to embody love. If I want a trusting partner, I have to be trustworthy. If I want to create, you know, abundance, I have to start with, I'm an abundant being. So that energy then goes out positive to say, okay, it's in circulation now, and now there's space for whatever I want to come in. So when I tell people, if you really want a relationship to come into your life, start acting like you're in a relationship, you know,
yeah,
set the table for two, and you go into the coffee shop, buy two coffees, maybe give one to, you know, somebody.
Oh. Yeah.
Move your car over in the double car garage.
Oh, that's proactive. Wow. Here's, I love this, the coffee shop scenario. Yeah, that's great. And don't worry about how you look when you're doing it, right? I mean, don't feel silly.
No, just pick up two, and then if you see someone and you want to give it to them, that's great. Or you know, sit down at a table for two and leave that chair open. Because what you're doing is you're saying, you're opening that space and intention to say, I'm drawing this in. This is what I want, and here's the space. Come on in.
I will get off topic for just a second and mention that you're a director with the Foundation in Light, a group that's dedicated to integration of light through the heart into human experience. Talk about that a little bit. What are your duties there?
Well, I work with a transformational seer by the name of Brian Christopher. Foundation in Light is based out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I started volunteering with the foundation back in 1996, and we do workshops and retreats, you know, all over the country, and he offers, and I do too as well, you know, I do my consultations, but we also do the more I'm considered more therapeutic intuitive. He also does readings in a transformational sphere, like a psychic. We bring, you know, we try to bring principles, universal principles, to people through the different workshops and retreats that we have to really further light on the planet, light in consciousness. And so that's what I've been doing. It's a nonprofit also. So it's when I'm not doing my own practice, I'm also involved in that as well.
One last question for you before I wrap it up here. Is there one overriding points or piece of advice that those really seeking to find soul-hearted partnerships should keep in mind?
Yes. What I want them to keep in mind is you have to be your own soulmate first. And if you are really loving yourself, trusting yourself, becoming intimate with yourself, meditating, taking precious care, that self-care, and you're open to the energies that you're putting out there, then you will draw whatever you want into your life, including a soul-hearted relationship. But you have to do the work to have someone come in, and each of you to be working individually and together requires that you do your part.
So like the song says, it really is the greatest love of all, learning to love yourself.
It is, and that is what, if you do this, if you take the time to really get to know yourself, work on breaking old patterns, opening yourself to new energies, you will bring in the vibration that you want. But we have to do the work. We have to walk our talk.
Mm-hmm. We can buy the book at the website. Well, you have a couple of websites, don't you?
Yes,
yeah.
The first one is www.debrarebel.com. It's D-E-B-R-A-R-E-B-L-E. On that website, there's also a weekly article that I post in a blog. So there's various topics on personal transformation, relationships, different areas of well-being. And then and you can buy the book on the website, as well as soulheartedpartnership.com and Amazon, and it's in many of your spiritual or well-being bookstores.
Did I also see an e-version of the book, too?
Yes, there is. It's on Kindle.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah, great.
Yeah,
okay.
So, and there's also a digital version that you can download, that you can purchase on my site as well. So it's an e-book form.
All right. Well, Deborah, thanks again so much for being with us today. We're going to keep tabs on you, and hopefully we can do this again sometime. I would like that.
I would like that too, John, on any other topic. That would be great. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
For having me. I really enjoyed our dialogue, and have a beautiful and blessed day.
You too. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks to Dr. Deborah Rebel for being with us today. Remember, we'll link to her websites and give you more information, too, at chieforyourself.com. That's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for stopping by. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.